Good morning. It's Thursday, October 24th. I'm Shimita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, the oil industry's blueprint to roll back climate regulations, the surprising decline in college enrollment, and how the 12-foot skeleton disrupted the Halloween market. But first, we're in the final stretch of the presidential campaigns, and one of the biggest divisions in this election is almost surely going to fall along gender lines. In recent national polling, Harris is leading with women anywhere from 13 to 16%. Trump, on the other hand, is leading among men anywhere from high single digits to up to 16 points overall. Now, it's typical that we see gender gaps between the parties in presidential elections. But if these current numbers hold, the spread could be historic. With me to explain what all of this means is my colleague Gideon Resnick. Hey, Gideon.
Hey, Shimita.
So first, what do we know is accounting for this huge spread between men and women?
There are a lot of factors here. First, to state the obvious, Harris is a woman, and if she wins, she will be the first woman president. Mm-hmm. And the Harris campaign is trying to make her candidacy a referendum on reproductive rights, which does seem to be resonating with women voters. The message is effectively, Republicans do not trust you to make your own decisions, but Democrats do. And you'll hear Harris and her campaign talking about this in the context of freedom, which is something that they've been driving home consistently. And they look at places like Michigan, where abortion was on the ballot in the same election cycle as Governor Gretchen Whitmer when she was up for re-election in 2022. She ended up being re-elected with the support of the majority of women. In fact, one exit poll showed that over 60% of women under 45 supported her campaign. So the Harris campaign looks at that and thinks they could maybe even get a bigger share of women than even those national polls are currently suggesting. And there are Democrats who think this is a different environment than 2016 when Hillary Clinton was a historic nominee but ultimately came up short. Many women in recent years have been elected to leadership positions in lots and lots of different states. But of course, there are still some that are nervous about the role that sexism could play in the election. Harris, for her part, addressed this head on. She said in an interview on NBC News that the country is ready to elect a woman president.
It is clear that regardless of someone's gender, they want to know that their president has a plan to lower cost, that their president has a plan to secure America in the context of our position around the world. They want a president of the United States who honors our military, who understands the importance of America's leadership around international rules and norms. And that is regardless of gender.
Okay, so that's how Harris is thinking about it. What about Trump?
Trump, in some ways, is running an opposite campaign in the sense that they have been trying to build this sort of tough guy machismo persona around him. We saw that at the RNC over the summer when Hulk Hogan, you know, ripped off his shirt on stage. Mm-hmm. A lot of imagery associated with the Trump campaign comes from that assassination attempt on his life in Pennsylvania and the kind of remarkable image that emerged of him after that. And then his messaging is often specifically geared towards men or about men. And this is sort of, you know, translated to the conservative media universe as well, where a lot of Fox News hosts, whether it's Jesse Waters or Jeanine Pirro, have been trying to make the point that, quote unquote, real men should be voting for Trump and not Harris or her running mate, Governor Tim Walz, who they try to paint as not being masculine.
Kamala scrambling to win back male voters who were ditching her in droves for Donald Trump. But so far, her bro pandering has been a total joke. Harris sending out her self-proclaimed knucklehead to go pheasant hunting. But he couldn't even get that one right after fumbling around with his shotgun.
And then in addition to that, Trump has been making a lot of podcast appearances that appeal to a younger, more conservative tilting demographic. In fact, he's reportedly recording a conversation with Joe Rogan on Friday.
Right. But when it comes down to it, I mean, neither campaign can rely on, oh, I'll get most of the women's votes or I'll get most of the men's votes and that'll be enough to win. Right.
I think that's definitely true. Harris has made direct overtures to a lot of different constituencies where there are some concerns about the numbers slipping from the 2020 numbers that helped propel Joe Biden to the presidency. That includes having conversations and policy directed specifically towards young Black men. Harris also had a town hall with the radio host Charlemagne the God, where she was walking through a lot of those plans and talking about herself in a more personal fashion. There was also the event where former President Barack Obama even kind of chided some young Black men and warned them not to allow latent sexism basically to influence the way they were thinking about their choice in this election.
And you're coming up with all kinds of reasons and excuses. I've got a problem with that, because part of it makes me think, and I'm speaking to men directly, part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president. Mm-hmm. And you're coming up with other alternatives and other reasons for that.
And then for Trump, he did a town hall recently on Fox that featured an all-women audience. But as the Times puts it, even when he has these kinds of explicit overtures, there are sometimes the hallmarks of traditional gender roles in some of the language.
I am your protector. I want to be your protector. As president, I have to be your protector. I hope you don't make too much of it. I hope the fake news doesn't go, oh, he wants to be their protector. Well, I am. As president, I have to be your protector.
Mm. Okay, so two very different approaches. What do we know about how these might play out come Election Day?
You know, in a lot of ways, it really is going to come down to turnout. I know that is a kind of cop-out answer people will give in the final weeks here. But historically, we know that women do turn out at higher rates than men, and older people in general turn out at higher rates than younger voters tend to do. So for Harris, if she can boost her share of the vote among women and more of them turn out this year, that could end up being decisive. And for Trump, if he adds a lot of these infrequent or first-time young men, that could also make a difference. But again, how many and where is going to be the key for both of these campaigns?
Right. Gideon, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
We have heard relatively little about climate change on the campaign trail from the candidates, but the Washington Post got access to documents that show how major oil and gas industry players are preparing for the next president and how they're counting on a Trump victory to roll back regulations.
So the story is about a bunch of documents that we got from the American Exploration and Production Council.
That's Evan Halper, who covers the energy transition at the Washington Post. The group he's referring to is the AXPC, a trade group that represents some big companies like ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips.
AXPC will say that these documents were basically drafted for any presidential administration, but they take particular aim at all of the Biden climate initiatives. And so obviously, if Vice President Harris is elected president, she's unlikely to unravel all these things. But Trump has said this is exactly what he wants to do, and the oil industry is basically giving him a blueprint here.
Halper said they're specifically focused on emissions of methane. Methane is one of the most potent greenhouse gases. It's responsible for nearly a third of human-caused global warming, according to the International Energy Agency. These documents lay out a plan to kill a Biden-era tax on those emissions.
But it goes way beyond that. I mean, there's about a half dozen or more than a half dozen executive orders that are central to the Biden administration's pledge to abide by the Paris Accord to limit climate warming or global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius. And this roadmap takes aim at all of those executive orders and most of what the Biden administration has done to try to keep emissions in check.
The United States played a key role in the creation of the Paris Agreement in 2016, but Trump withdrew the U.S. from it during his time in office and has previously called climate change a hoax. Biden recommitted to it when he was elected. Halper and his colleagues found that executives from a number of companies in this trade group attended a dinner at Mar-a-Lago earlier this year, where Trump made a surprising request.
It was supposedly some kind of energy roundtable, but it turned into a really transactional, kind of shockingly transactional event where he told all these executives, look, you want these regulators off your back. You're complaining to me about restrictions on oil and gas that the Biden administration has put in and these climate rules. If you raise $1 billion for me, you know, I will go ahead and undo so many of these things.
The Trump campaign did not address the AXPC agenda when the Post reached out for comment. The AXPC responded, saying it supports methane regulations but opposes the methane tax. The think tank Carbon Tracker published a report card earlier this year that found all the major oil and gas companies were far off track in meeting the Paris targets. ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips received some of the lowest grades. Before we let you go, a few other stories being featured in the Apple News app. The United Nations says it'll take 350 years to repair Gaza's economy, which has been left in utter ruin by the Israel-Hamas war. According to their report, economic activity in Gaza has ground to a halt, with construction, agriculture, manufacturing, and the services sector all nearly wiped out. And the longer the war goes on, the worse it'll get. The UN estimates that once a ceasefire is reached, it'll take hundreds of years for Gaza to restore its GDP to pre-war levels. In domestic news, researchers say fewer high schoolers enrolled in college this fall. New national data published Wednesday recorded a 5% decline in first-year undergraduate enrollment compared with last fall. Researchers call the findings startling. It's unclear why, but USA Today points to some possible reasons, including the problems with federal financial aid this year, fallout from the Supreme Court's ban on affirmative action, and overall attitudes about the value of college degrees changing. And finally, we are a week out from Halloween, which means you've probably seen the now ubiquitous giant plastic skeletons on people's lawns. They've been creeping up in popularity every year since Home Depot first launched them in 2020. Bloomberg Businessweek has the story of how these absurdly large decorations became a breakaway hit. The guy who came up with the idea says he saw huge skeletons at ticketed Halloween events like haunted houses, but realized nothing like that existed for the everyday consumer. And so Skelly was born, a 12-foot giant that sells for about $300. Skelly has inspired a whole wave of oversized decor at other stores, too. You see 8-foot pumpkins, 12-foot scarecrows. And Home Depot says Skelly is so popular on social media and literally unmissable if you go driving by one on a lawn that it practically sells itself. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the News app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Bloomberg Businessweek talks to scientists trying to tackle the nation's fentanyl epidemic with a different approach, a vaccine that could potentially prevent some overdose deaths. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.